Welcome to the Tea Podcast, the podcast that always takes it there. Your host for the Tea Podcast is T, from the infamous TeaBlog.com. Some people say T has a way with words. Some call him the Tom Brady of blogging, the Jay-Z of screenwriting, the Conor McGregor of podcasting. He is the man who is always, always, always on his grown man shit. Thank you for tuning in. Now here is your host, T.
Welcome, everyone, to the Tea Podcast for Thursday, February 6th, 2020. Welcome to the Tea Podcast number 139. Also, welcome to the podcast, a long overdue return, my lovely girlfriend, Melty. Say hello, Melty.
Hello, Melty.
I knew you were going to do that. I'm bringing Melty back in because I am on the verge of firing B-Lo, which you would be happy if I did.
Fire B-Lo, hashtag it, tweet it, get it out there, people. B-Lo's going down.
B-Lo is preoccupied, so he will not be joining me or us or the podcast this week. And I wanted to bring Melty in. So I did one solo podcast that hopefully you all listened to yesterday. And Melty and I have been talking for her return. If you all listened to way back in December, December 23rd, which was Festivus. Melty and I did our airing of grievances for the 2019 year. We did not have many grievances. It was a great year for the two of us together. But I was looking for an opportunity to bring Melty back. And I figured a good way to do it would be, if you saw the title of this podcast, of this Tea Podcast, is Melty and Tea Predict the Oscars. So, Melty, what are your thoughts on us coming together again for a podcast?
I think it's great. It's really great. I love the Oscars. I wish we were doing it about the dresses rather than the movies. But yeah, I'm a fan.
Do you think that, I'll get into the stereotypes. Do you think that, because I don't like award shows. You know I love movies, but I don't like award shows. Award shows, I feel, and again, this is, you got representation of both sexes. You could correct me if I'm wrong or say this is sexist, which I don't think it is. I think award shows are tailored more towards women. Now, not just the show itself, but the pomps and circumstance before, the dresses, the fashion. If you watch any of the pre-shows, no guy, no straight guy is tuning in to watch, oh, look what she's wearing. Oh, look what he's wearing. As you all hear Tiger Cat Tigger, meowing in the background. Real quick, I keep this as live or fresh as possible. You all know that he's trying to open up the closet. He opened up the closet. He closed the closet. Tigger is very active when I'm on the podcast. Now, Melty and I are both not paying attention to him, so he's making a lot of noise in the background. You will hear that, but, you know, like, shout out to Tigger. But back to the Oscars, any award show, like, guys don't watch award show pre-shows, but the show itself, I don't think any guy's going to watch an award show by himself. With his girlfriend's a different story. How do you feel about that? How do you think, who's the target audience for award shows?
Maybe they're not watching it by themselves, but I think they are watching it because there are, like, I for one watch, I'll sell myself down the river, I watch E! News or E! The channel, and they do, like, coverage starting at, like, 2 o'clock that day for almost all award shows where they break down stuff. And, like, no one's really watching that. Like, I'm not even watching that. But once the celebrities start showing up, I would actually argue that probably a lot of people, a lot of men, watch it. Maybe not by themselves, but if they don't have anything to do, they might. And if their lady's watching it, they will. If their man is watching it, they will. And I think they're likely going to watch it because it can be, I think it takes you, it's different than, like, dresses. I think we've moved past that in a lot of ways. It's more about hearing, seeing celebrities, like, show up at an award show, I think is very, it can be, I don't know if polarizing is the right word, but it can be very exciting to see your favorite celebrity, yours being Reese Witherspoon.
Reese Witherspoon?
I don't know.
Anna De Armas?
She was on the screen. No, probably Bradley Cooper's your favorite.
No, but Bradley Cooper's your favorite with his cross-eyed.
But it can be fascinating to see a celebrity that you don't see in person arriving at one of these shows.
As Melty wipes her nose, I made note in a previous podcast that Melty is inflicted with the coronavirus, and she's here inflicting all of you now through the microphone with her coronavirus. I definitely have it now too.
Well, It's not the coronavirus, but I will say, because you brought it up now, that I don't normally sound like this.
She doesn't.
And
with her raspy smoker voice, and she doesn't smoke.
My raspy smoker voice, that is actually much better than last week, where I had almost no voice. But I only have the coronavirus or some type of sickness because, not to divert us too much.
No, but they know about our travels.
But you made me go to Las Vegas, basically forced me on the plane.
Made her, against her will.
Made me drink an obscene amount.
I did that.
Walk all over the place.
All over, touching things.
And then I had to go to Dallas the following Monday, the next Monday, fly from Las Vegas to Dallas for work. Was there all day meeting with people. And then flew home. And then very next weekend, you made me go to New York.
I made you go to New York for your birthday. I am a terrible boyfriend.
No, you're a wonderful boyfriend, but that was a lot. And then we took a train, and then we took a train back with a kid that definitely had the coronavirus. And it was bound to happen. But so I got the sick.
We did. Here's how this went. Planes, trains, and automobiles. I went to pick you up at your place. We came back to the Tea Palace. We took an Uber to Logan Airport. We took an airplane to Las Vegas, Nevada. We stayed in a. We took an Uber to the hotel. We stayed in a hotel. We took a cab to Las Vegas Airport, McCarran Airport, right? And we took, you took an airplane to Dallas. I took an airplane to Boston.
I took a plane that was severely delayed and was supposed to leave at 7 o'clock and ended up leaving at midnight Vegas time and didn't get in until like 2 o'clock in the morning Dallas time.
And then you had to get to the office at what time?
And then I had to get to the office at like 9:30 Dallas. So
I took my respective plane home. You came home the next day. So that was another plane from Dallas to Boston. You took an Uber home. And then that Saturday, 4 days later for you, after you came home that Monday night, going to Tuesday, we'll say because it's Tuesday, by the time you got home, it was after midnight, I had to go pick you up in Wesley, bring you back to my place. We had to take an Uber to the train station. We hopped in a train.
Very early in the morning, mind you.
Very early in the morning. Take a train to New York City, get out of Penn Station, wait in a torrential downpour.
The most torrential downpour that's ever existed in the winter. It was like sideways rain.
Sideways, slapping me off my head. We had to get into a taxi cab, took that to our hotel, checked on our hotel. Our room wasn't ready. We got complimentary drinks for a couple hours. We're drinking in a very public area. I went and got a couple of slices of New York pizza, and we finally checked into our room, a very nice room on the 43rd floor of the W Hotel. Of 57 floors. And then, yes, we had to walk around dirty New York City. We went to dinner. We went to a musical, which I said on the podcast. And then we went to Times Square, took some pictures. At that point, it kicked in on you, right?
Well, it actually, if I'm being very honest, and I didn't fully tell you the entire story until much later, and probably some of this might be news to you now, but I woke up on Saturday morning when we were leaving, not feeling well.
I kind of picked up on it. You were in denial. You still sat up until like yesterday you weren't sick.
No, I wasn't in denial. I just didn't want you to know that I was sick because I felt bad that I had gotten sick for the weekend you had planned away. But I was very sick on that Saturday when we were out for my birthday.
Well, you are introverted, safe to say, but you were more quiet than usual.
Because
you felt like shit.
Like real like dog poop on the ground that somebody... stepped in and then left for over a year.
But because I don't want the audience to just get my perspective, and I'm not trying to position myself as the boyfriend of the year, but you have to say, your boyfriend takes you to Las Vegas, even though it was more for me because Conor McGregor, to New York City for your birthday. Isn't that sweet?
It's very sweet, but this is where we're going to get very off track because now I'm going to continue down this path and we're not going to get to the Oscars.
We'll get to the Oscars.
So you are very sweet. You do a lot of wonderful things. But this is where you and I are very, very different people. I get my energy. I'm introverted. I like to talk and socialize, but I'm very introverted in that I get my energy by being alone, relaxing.
I'm a lone wolf.
I'm not a lone wolf.
But I am. And you sometimes get mad I'm too much of a lone wolf.
Yeah, but you might be a lone wolf, but you like to you like to have a schedule.
I do.
And I think everybody in your life knows this because everybody has told me about the schedule, and I know very well that you have a schedule and you like to make plans very far in advance. And that's great, but back-to-back weekends of traveling and doing things. And then we were also doing stuff, a lot of stuff this past weekend.
Family stuff, Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I didn't fully get to rest, so it's now prolonged my sickness another week. I enjoy doing all those things. I definitely want to, travel, and I love doing that, obviously. But it's, for me, I need like a weekend of doing nothing. And by nothing, I mean I run errands in the morning because I like to wake up early, work out, maybe go run errands, and then be done by like 2 o'clock. You like get started at 2 and you're like planning the rest of the afternoon.
All the way until like 1-2 in the morning.
And I'm like, let's go to bed at 9:30. And you're like, no.
I'm wide awake.
And that's what I have to deal with you.
Well, it's good. Well, I mean, it's good to get your perspective on because I'm on here obviously talking about my life all the time. And I think a perspective on our relationship only through my eyes, through my lens. So I really want you, not to defend yourself, but I want you, mostly because you're my girlfriend, I appreciate that you do the tea podcast and you take part in all this stuff. That's tea blog and the scripts beyond my full-time career. You know that I like staying busy. I like doing things. I like being accomplished. I like being busy. But also a lot of people came up to me and reached out to me saying, when are you going to have Melty back on the tea podcast? I think people have said that to you, that you were a good best part of the podcast. They liked our grievances.
They have. And I will say that, and I'm going to tie this now back to the Oscars, which is why we're really here. I think if there are people that enjoy this little like shtick that we've done at the beginning, those are the people that I would argue watch the pre-show to the Oscars. Because
it's the preview.
It's a voyeurism.
Well, yeah.
It sure is. I'm very, and I mean this, and people that are also this way will get it, but I'm very voyeuristic. I like to see inside people's homes, inside.
You like to watch people in the nude?
No. I like to look in cabinets. I don't open people's cabinets.
Why are you looking at my cabinets?
No,
you open their drawers?
I don't open their drawers, but like, it's one thing, like Instagram. Why Instagram is so important for me in my life.
Stories.
I love stories. I love looking at well-manicured homes and pantries that are perfectly designed and organized. For me, it's very voyeuristic to like look at somebody's home and like the way they organize and the way they've decorated. So well, I like the pre-show for that reason, because I like to see like these celebrities that are so built up in the world interact with their PR people and just have like casual conversations on the red carpet, because they're doing like videos around the whole red carpet, and I think that's very interesting.
I think our perspective on Instagram also shows how different we are at times, where you love not the pictures themselves that people post, you love the stories behind the scenes. I barely have any stories turned on, but I love pictures.
Yeah.
I love posting my pictures. And again, it's never me, never my personal life. You go to the T-blog page, it's all pictures that I capture, and then obviously the pictures I like are all like sports stuff or travel pitches, and I tag you in the travel pitches, but I think a lot of that stuff is something that we do. So back to the Oscars. What we're going to do is, ladies and gentlemen, I think this is good because Melty, as she said, likes award shows. I love movies. You all know my history, my background. Melty is a good, great supporter of all things movies, my screenwriting. I've dragged her to see some movies like Rambo 5, Terminator 6.
Mm-hmm.
On top of some good things, you and I have seen some Oscar-nominated movies this past summer. We've seen Joker. Together, to give people a quick background, we've seen Joker together, we've seen Knives Out, we've seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Melty and I see a lot of movies this past weekend, and I'm not doing a review, but we saw The Gentlemen. So for all my listening audience that come to here to listen to my reviews of the movies, I'll give it to you real quick. What'd you think of The Gentlemen?
I really liked The Gentlemen. I thought it was, I mean, it probably wasn't my favorite movie of all time, but I enjoyed the funny parts of it. It was very funny. Lots of English humor, which I appreciated. Very dry and witty.
A lot of English humor. Very dry and witty. It had, for you downtown, Downton Abbey fans.
Yeah, Michelle Dockery.
Who I didn't know who that was. Classic McConaughey. McConaughey played a dark character. Speaking of dark characters, Hugh Grant, never seen him like that. There's Jax from Son of Anarchy. There's also Colin Farrell. All-star cast and classic Guy Ritchie, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, before he got into the Sherlock Holmes on the Disney movies. I recommend The Gentlemen, but pivoting on over to a little bit of our background, I think you all know my history. Melty loves movies. She watches your favorite genres, 80s romantic comedies. Like, what do you prefer?
Well, it's hard. I like a romantic comedy. I like comedies. I do like movies that have meat on the bones, but I like when it...
You love Bollywood movies?
Okay. Again, you're offending an entire industry. Whatever. I like movies that tell a good story, like a meaningful story.
Yes, because...
Movies based on books, too.
The Christmas Prince is a very meaningful story. I agree. But
I went to see Rambo 10, was it?
Rambo 5.
With Sylvester Stallone that was almost dead.
But didn't I tell you it was going to suck going in? I kind of give you a heads up on a movie that's going to be bad. Just I have to see it.
You didn't tell me it was going to be a made-for-TV movie that they put on the big screen that night.
Touché. So, the Oscars. Shit ton of categories. The Oscars are on this Sunday. The pre-shit probably starts at like 4 or 5 o'clock, depending if you watch E! Like Melty or those other shows. And I think the prime time starts at like 8, always goes past the allocated time. I don't like any rewatch shows. I just talked about this. I don't watch the Grammys. I will once in a while tune into the Oscars, but here's the history. Social media, I don't have to tune in. Somebody's going to post that. I can't believe so-and-so won. You see so-and-so's performance, right? So I can usually go to Twitter, watch something else, like a game or something, and still get my stuff off of social media, which I may do. But we're here tonight. There's a ton of categories. We're getting to what I call the Big Eight. And again, we don't have the time. I don't want this podcast to go hours and hours. But the Big Eight are categorized as the following. And we'll go through in this following order. Best Actress, Best Supporting Actress, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Screenplay. Some people out there may be saying, how the fuck are screenplays the big categories? Well, you all know my screenwriting background. I love those categories. Only reason I end up tuning in is to find that out. Best Director, and finally, Best Picture. That's always the last award of the night given. So
I'm just realizing that you didn't put Best Animated Feature Film of the Year in there.
I usually don't. Broken. We could throw that in there if you want.
I haven't seen any of them.
So you probably haven't. We'll take a look as we go through. So I have the list of the nominees up here. It's in front of us. I think, again, Melty has seen a lot of these movies with me. I have seen some of my own, some I haven't seen, but I'm going to go with, and I'm going to let you go first every time as the lady, I'm going to go with my background. I'm pretty good at picking these, like almost not as good as quite my MMA picks, mm-hmm. which I did pretty good in Vegas, mm-hmm. my football picks, which I did pretty well up until the Super Bowl. I kind of have a feel of what the people are talking about, where the heat's coming from. The Golden Globes is always a good precursor to this stuff. The Golden Globes, I don't know, I think 75% of the time, if you won a Golden Globe, you probably wound up taking this category too. So like, think about that, Melty, as well. Mm-hmm. I try not to go with my personal favorites, kind of like I would with football. I want to go with who I think the best bet would be. So I will read off the category. I'll read off the people. And you can correct me if I'm saying the names wrong, because I know there's one in there that I'm going to say her name wrong, because we talked about the other night.
Yeah, so she wrote in.
So we will, it doesn't spell like that at all. It says Sirosi.
It's Sirsha.
So we're going to start with the Best Actress in the Leading Role nominees. They are Cynthia Erivo for Harriet, Scarlett Johansson for Marriage Story,
Saoirse Ronan
in Little Women, Charlize Theron in Bombshell, Renee Zellweger in Judy. Melty, who is your pick for Best Actress? Let's get right into it.
I mean, I really like the premise of Bombshell. I think Charlize Theron, I haven't seen that movie. I liked her. I think her portrayal looks good. I love Saoirse Ronan. I love the original Little Women. The other two, Scarlett, obviously. I know I'm not really familiar with Cynthia, but I'm going to give it to Renee for Judy, because I did see her portrayal of Judy Garland, and it is bananas.
You saw this movie?
I didn't see the full movie.
Okay.
But I saw clips that they played at the Golden Globes.
Yep.
And she is bananas.
Okay. So Melty is going with Renee Zellweger in Judy. Mm-hmm. I am going to go with my history. I have not seen any of these performances because I have not seen any of these movies. I'm going to go with my history of the way the Oscars work. The Oscars, usually when these roles, when it comes up to best lead actress, is somebody either one or two things. Really plays somebody that does not look like them in real life. Somebody that, like, again, Charlize Theron for Monster that time. She played total opposite of what she looks like in real life. The Oscars are suckers for somebody that does a complete physical transformation. Or they're a complete sucker for somebody that plays another famous person. Jamie Foxx and Ray. Like, that's what they usually go for. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving my background why I'm picking this. I, like Melty, again, this was not predetermined. She and I did not talk about our picks. We'll both find it out now for the first time. I am also going with Renee Zellweger with her lemon face in Judy. Mm-hmm. So we should jot these down and come back and listen to the podcast. But yeah. We are both picking Renee Zellweger to win Best Actress.
What happened?
Melty's having a nervous breakdown during the middle of the podcast. The delayed reaction?
I'll tell you later.
All right. Best Supporting Actress. So this is a performance by an actress in the supporting role nominees. Kathy Bates and Richard Jewell. I did not fucking know Kathy Bates was even in that movie.
Yeah.
Laura Dern in Marriage Story. Everybody's talking about Marriage Story. You gotta watch that on Netflix. Mm-hmm. As Melty spreads her coronavirus. Scarlett Johansson in Jojo Rabbit. She could possibly win two Oscars that night, which I don't know what happened. Florence Pugh in Little Women. I liked her in that wrestling movie with The Rock.
Yeah.
Margot Robbie in Bombshell. Melty, who was your pick for Best Supporting Actress?
So again, did not see any of these movies. I do want to see Marriage Story on Netflix. I'll give it to Laura Dern. I believe she won the Golden Globe, so I'll say she's my pick.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that. I did not know Laura Dern won that. She's also the woman from Jurassic Park, right?
Yes.
Interesting. So I got to say, because she got nominated for two and you can't do her wrong, she is not winning for Best Actress. And I heard a lot of things about Jojo Rabbit. I'm going to go with Scarlett Johansson in Jojo Rabbit for Best Supporting Actress. Now. Wow.
Controversy.
As this pops up on the screen, Best Animated Feature Film of the Year nominee, Klaus is nominated. You and I have very strong opinions about that movie.
Yeah, I will say I went back to Klaus.
Without me?
Without you, just because I needed to understand what was happening. And I did finally meet Santa Claus, and I kind of get it. But to get to the point, I mean, we were like 30, 40 minutes in, and Santa wasn't coming. So it was...
Santa wasn't coming to town.
I'm going to say Klaus was a snoozer, but maybe if you have kids, it might be a little bit different.
So we'll have to tune in to see how that turns out. It'll be interesting to see if they win an Oscar. Then I will have to go back and watch
it
as well.
What are the other movies? I'm just curious. Sorry, you already went past it.
It was Toy Story 4, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, I Lost My Body, Missing Link. So the only one that got extended now to like 10, but this year it's only 9, is the Best Picture. I think that kind of, I didn't like that. I like when it's just 5 Best Picture nominations. Mm-hmm. So now it spreads the field and we'll get in that at the end. All right. Pivoting on over to the men, we're going to go to Best Actor. So performance by an actor in a leading role nominee, Antonio Banderas in Pain and Glory, mm-hmm. Leonardo DiCaprio, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Adam Driver in Marriage Story, Joaquin Phoenix in Joker, which we did see, Leonardo DiCaprio, we saw it in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Jonathan Pryce, The Two Popes. Melty, who is your pick for Best Actor?
I think it's hands down Joaquin Phoenix in my book.
I'm not even going to debate that, not even going to wait. Without a doubt, if Joaquin Phoenix does not win Best Actor, that is some bullshit. He physically transformed his body. My only beef is that the Oscars do not treat comic book movies with respect that they deserve. I think they kind of look at this a little bit differently. They did give it to, ironically, even though he already passed away, Heath Ledger did win Best Actor for Joker. So that'd be kind of ironic that he wins as well.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Joaquin Phoenix is definitely taking home the Best Actor. Best Supporting Actor. So performance by an actor in a supporting role nominees. Tom Hanks in A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Anthony Hopkins in The Two Popes. Ironically, old ass Al Pacino in The Irishman. Old ass Joe Pesci in The Irishman.
Or their 40-year-old selves.
Was it the CGI 40-year-old version of them that was an old man in a fucking CGI face? Or Brad Pitt, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Melty, who is your pick for Best Supporting Actor?
This one's a little bit tougher, I'll be honest. Because, so, if I'm purely basing it off of the one movie I saw, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
You saw some of The Irishman.
I saw The Irishman too, but I wouldn't give it to either. It would be Brad Pitt. I also saw the Golden Globes, and he won there for that. But I don't know. I think Tom Hanks kind of deserves it for being Mr. Rogers.
Are you going with your heart there, Melty, and not the logical pick?
I'm going to go with the nicest man in Hollywood, Tom Hanks, who brought me to tears at the Golden Globes with his speech.
That was a beautiful speech. I did see that on social media that night too. On the other hand, I'm going to be logical here and go with... I love Brad Pitt, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. For those of you who haven't seen it, he plays, and almost every time he's that guy, he's so laid back, so oblivious to what's going on, straight-laced, dry humor. I love Brad Pitt as an actor. I think he's a very underrated actor. And I think another one everybody's been talking about, even though I didn't like the movie, I didn't really care for the whole thing, Al Pacino as Hoffa in The Irishman is getting a lot of people talking. I see Al Pacino more than I see Jimmy Hoffa. Al Pacino is so over the top now. He's Al Pacino every movie.
Yeah.
So I don't think... he should get it. I am afraid the Academy is going to give it to him, but I'm going to go with the pick that I originally was going to go with because he won a Golden Globe, Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That's my pick for Best Supporting Actor.
I will say, without a doubt, and whoever saw The Irishman who wants to debate me and or agree with me, DM me, but if The Irishman wins any awards... I'm never watching a movie again.
It may win those weird ones like cinematography or best score. Like those are the ones because he's known for to shoot. And he knows how to capture a screen. He knows how to use the best use of a camera, Scorsese.
Okay.
And again, I haven't looked at the nominations. And actually, let me pull that up. And he knows how to do clothes and a set, so maybe production design and score. He knows how to do music. So let me see. I'll be curious real quick as I'm looking through these, ladies and gentlemen. Going in blind.
There was music in that movie, though.
There's a whole score. He's known for his songs. And so isn't Tarantino. So let me see if they're up for score real quick. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to have picks for these.
I think Tarantino is because his score won. Or no, it was Joker that won.
So cinematography, his main guy, Rodrigo Prieto. So they are up for that. Costume design. He's known for his clothes, The Irishman. That does not surprise me. Tarantino, too. Scorsese and Tarantino movies are going up a lot against each other. It was my last one. Film editing, he's always up for that. That's The Irishman. And hairstyle, that, I don't know.
If he had won for that and the CGI, I would laugh.
No, he did not get a nomination for score. Usually I thought score, I guess, had to be original music. Original song, I think, usually up for. No. All right, get back to our category. So now we are coming over to my third favorite category of all time because it's not quite... original screenplay, we are going to go with Best Adapted Screenplay. So, Best Adapted Screenplay. Obviously, adapted means something for those of you out there listening. It's something that's already based off source material. I pride myself on all the scripts and treatments I've written in my lifetime, all original. I never adapted anything. Maybe one day if I'm doing this for a living, that somebody will come to me and say, hey, T, here's $6 million, write a Spider-Man movie, and I'll be more than happy to write a fucking Spider-Man movie. But adapted has to come from a source material. It could be based off a book, a play, a musical, an article, a comic book, anything. It just had to come from somewhere that wasn't original. So, Best Adapted Screenplay nominees. The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Woman, The Two Popes. Melty, what is your pick for Best Adapted Screenplay?
This one, I'm going to admit, is very tough for me too, because while I really loved The Joker, I thought it was very well done. I love Little Women. Even though I did not see the newest movie, I love Little Women as a book, as the original movie, and I really love Greta Gerwig too, so I'm gonna say Little Women.
Little Women, huh?
Yeah.
I'm curious to see if the other one way back when won any of these, Winona, that movie.
I think Winona did win something.
So I wonder if they won it though, like best, I wonder if it was up for Best Adapted back then too.
Maybe.
Well, Scorsese, whoever he works with, he never writes his stuff like Tarantino. Again, this is adapted, but The Irishman is up there. Jojo Rabbit, Taika Waititi, I love him as a director in the Thor stuff that he's done. I heard Jojo Rabbit is batshit crazy. I want to see that movie. That, I think, has a shot. Little Women, because it's based off source material and it may have done it before. Really good candidates. I have to go with... because I read the script, you know me, after I see movies, I read scripts. I did everything on this movie because I love this movie so much. It was my movie of the year. I talked about on the podcast before. I have to go with, because I think adapted on it, being a Batman fan, loving everything with Joker, I'm going to go with best adapted screenplay, because no movie's really been done based on just the villain, Joker. I say Joker should take home best adapted screenplay. If not, Jojo Rabbit's going to take it, but my pick is the Joker. Moving on. Best original screenplay. Now, this is my number one pick. This is my wheelhouse. I love original scripts. I am so passionate about movies, let alone original screenplays. But the nominees are Knives Out, which we did see together, mm-hmm. Marriage Story, 1917. I know we're just saying that for the first time because we're not going to all the other 15 categories, but 1917 is nominated a shit ton of times. You're going to hear it coming up in the next two categories as well. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, my boy Quentin Tarantino, and Parasite. Everybody is talking about this movie, Parasite. I don't like horror movies, but people are saying this is some fucked up, mind-blowing shit. But I did not read the script. So, Melty, who is your pick? What is your pick for best original screenplay?
Ooh. I mean, I didn't see 1917. People are saying really great things. I think that will likely win. The one that I want to win, just because I saw it. And I really, really enjoyed it. Knives Out.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think it'll win. I think 1917 will win.
With the great Ana de Armas.
Yeah.
Your favorite actress. So, as Melty gives me the middle finger, this is tough. So, I had to go with what I saw, what I didn't see, and what people are talking about. 1917, I believe, is based on Sam Mendes' grandfather in the war. I think he wrote that. And again, you can't consider that source material because that was never publicly known. But I heard something or read something that he actually wrote that based on his grandfather in the war. So that could be a good pick. Knives Out, I love that movie. There's rumors that they're going to bring, obviously, the two of them are going to be the next James Bond. But Rian Johnson wants to bring back James Bond. I forget his name right now. Who's James Bond?
Daniel Craig.
And Ana de Armas. And they want to keep a series going. That would be cool because they had great chemistry. So Knives Out was a really good sleeper hit. I'm glad you and I saw that. Marriage Story, everybody's talking about Netflix getting into the game, upping their content, the quality. They kind of have to now because all these streaming services competing with them. They actually put a statement out there saying we're willing to spend a shit ton of money on original content. So Marriage Story, a lot of people talking about that. Parasite, that could be the sleeper. Everybody's talking about this movie that nobody's seen anything like it. But what I left for last, because he's my boy and nobody could write a fucking script like Quentin Tarantino, I read this script. I think it actually reads even better than the movie. This is what he does. Tarantino is one movie away from retiring. He always said he was going to do 10. He's sticking to his guns. Everybody's wondering what that 10 movie is going to be. But nobody could write a movie, even though it's heavy dialogue. And he does that flip ending of not how the Sharon Tate story really took place. To come up with that ending, to write it in position the way he did, I got to go with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood by Quentin Tarantino for Best Original Screenplay. Now, moving into the big two that other people consider the big two. These are always saved for the last two categories of the night. I'm going to go ahead and get right into this one because everybody wants to know who the best nominees are for Best Director. So as I scroll through, did I miss Best Director, Melty?
No.
I didn't think it was up top. Here we go. All right. Best Director nominees. Martin Scorsese, not Scorsese, Scorsese for The Irishman. He had a tough year. He came out this movie. People 50-50 didn't like it or not. He bad-mouthed the shit out of all comic book movies, didn't call them cinema. He's going to become a very old, grumpy old man, just like everybody else in that fucking movie. Todd Phillips for Joker, the guy that wrote Old School, the guy that wrote the Hangover trilogy, saying he's not doing comedies anymore because his style of comedy cannot be appreciated in this era. People are too sensitive, he said. So he's content doing these types of movies, and he did a bang-up job with The Joker. Sam Mendes for 1917, which could be not about his grandfather. We have no confirmation on that right now. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Quentin Tarantino, Parasite, Bong Joon-ho. Now, that's tough. This is a tough category, Melty. Do you need a moment, or are you ready to put in your submission for Best Director?
I'll put in my submission. I, again, think it's going to be 1917, ooh, Sam Mendes. I've heard that it is a fantastic movie. I loved Joker, so I would hope that would win, but I think 1917, Sam Mendes. We'll take that. Plus, he was married to Kate Winslet.
They don't matter anymore?
No.
Interesting. Martin Scorsese is one of my all-time favorites. Tarantino is my all-time favorite. I wish Kevin Smith had something in there. And Todd Phillips directed one hell of a movie, The Joker. The person that should win this, without seeing 1917, I don't want to take anything away from Sam Mendes right now. The person that should win this should be Todd Phillips for Joker. There's direction, the way he set up the scene, every scene, shot for shot, how they put that together. The Joker is pound for pound the best movie. I think he should get the best director. I'm going to go with what the Academy and who they will give it to. Scorsese already won plenty of them. Tarantino, I think he's going to get best screenplay, so I don't think he's going to get best director too. I agree with you, and I'm going to go with, because I think this is going to be an Academy favorite, Sam Mendes for 1917 for best director.
Yeah.
Even though it's a travesty.
I know. The Joker, I will say, the best scene that I think is the reason why he should get it, because when Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker kills those guys on the train, that whole sequence of events is so perfectly shot. It's like chilling, but also suspenseful. It's amazing.
The sequence of when we as the audience find out that whole relationship was in his head.
Yeah.
Deep.
Huge.
That movie was, would you describe it as almost disturbing?
Yeah, I would say it's more than disturbing.
Almost as disturbing as the Latino elf with the cowboy spurs next to us during the movie.
I mean, that was equally disturbing. I think if there was ever going to be a little teeny tiny man in elf shoes sitting next to me in a movie theater watching a movie, it would have to be Joker that it would happen.
We had, Melty and I had quite the experience of the people sitting next to us during that movie.
Wearing AirPods
the entire time.
And talking on the phone or with his friends.
Very odd. So they won't even know if this movie was nominated because they didn't even see the friggin' movie. All right. This is the last category for us, at least. This is something that they expanded from 5 picks to 10. This year, 9, which is kind of tough because you have so much to choose from. This is the last category in the Oscars. This is the last category for us. This is the big one. Best motion picture of the year. So the best picture. Here are the nominees. Ford versus Ferrari, which I saw, you did not see. I know you wanted to see it. Mm-hmm. I went without you.
Go on one business trip and that's what happened.
The Irishman, which we started together. You refused to finish it with me. You literally stayed out of the room and left me alone.
The worst movie of our time.
Jojo Rabbit, which neither one of us saw, but everybody's talking about it. Joker, which we just said, we saw it together. Little Women, we both saw the Winona version. We did not see this one. Marriage Story, which we should watch on Netflix. 1917, which I don't think we will go see in theaters, but when it comes out on streaming services or cable, we're definitely going to watch it. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, we did see that. Parasite, which is this phenomenon that is nominated for both international, best international picture of the year, best foreign picture, and best regular picture, which is very rare that that's done. So, Melty, you have 9 to choose from. Who is, this is the big one, the last one, your pick for best picture of the year?
I'll say Joker.
You know.
Simple.
All right. Ford versus Ferrari was my top 3 movie of the year. One thing I think is missing from here because they don't respect comic book movies was Avengers Endgame. I put the Joker number 1, Avengers Endgame at number 2, Ford versus Ferrari number 3, and I think I put Knives Out number 4 of all the movies I saw this year. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was number 5. So I feel like there's one missing from this category.
Yeah.
The Irishman, I'd rather jump off the fucking Tobin, then watch that again. Completely disappointed. Broke my heart. Scorsese broke my heart. Jojo Rabbit, I definitely want to see that. Joker, I'll come back to that. Little Women, no desire to see that, but a lot of people liked it. Marriage Story, absolutely want to see that. 1917, I'll get into that in a second. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Great movie, not Tarantino's best, so I don't think that'll win. Parasite, again, I think it'll win Best Foreign Picture, but I don't think it can win here. In this regular best picture of the year. I could be wrong, but I think Parasite, a horror movie, it's tough to get that into this category. So I do think Joker should win, like you. I think Joker is the best picture of all of these. I want to pick Joker. My heart wants to pick the Joker. But again, the Academy is not ready to give that to a comic book movie, even though it's R. I remember a couple years ago when they did Logan, which was an R-rated Wolverine movie. It didn't feel like a Wolverine movie. It felt like a Western.
Yeah.
No nominations.
Yeah.
I thought that movie should be nominated for Best Director, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Screenplay. It got screwed. I still say the Academy is not ready to give an R-rated comic book movie the best picture. It should be Joker. I'm going to go with who they're going to give it to.
Yeah.
That is 1917. I think they're in love with this movie. War movies historically have always cleaned up. Saving Private Ryan. The one with Christopher Nolan, Dunkirk. These movies, the Academy always has a place in their heart. Until those old Academy people start to die off and some young blood gets in, they're not going to give it to the relevant, poignant movies of the year. So I say, I want Joker. It's going to be 1917.
I would agree with that assessment. I do. Well, I would love for Joker to win because I saw it. I thought it was great. I think 1917 will absolutely win.
So do you want to change your pick?
No, because...
You're picking Joker to
I'll
win.
I'll pick Joker.
All right. That's good. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Those were our 8 categories. I know there's a lot more. We'll tune in Sunday night. Maybe you'll tune in and listen. Maybe play the podcast in the background. See you Melty's picks compared to my picks. I think we kind of covered everything we wanted to cover. I think people are going to tune in. Like Melty, watch the earlier pre-shows and give the people, if you're a little voyeuristic like Melty, that you want to see them come there, pull up, talk, give those weird interviews. I kind of like when now they make it into memes when people mess up and like they say things they shouldn't say on the air or they're bad-mouthed. And then they bad-mouthed someone 1 year and then somebody got caught calling somebody a bitch that time. I don't know if it was the Oscars, but there's all that shit that tends to happen. I will find out on social media. I probably won't sit through all this. Melty, I don't think you'll sit through all this because they tend to run pretty late. They go like midnight.
I tend to watch all the Oscars. I do tend to give up after a while just because like I normally don't see all the movies, so it kind of gets redundant after a while. But I like to see what happens live. I don't want to find out about it on Twitter. I want to be like, I saw it live. I saw her call her a bitch live.
Well, that is our picks. Melty has returned back to the Tea Podcast. Melty, would you like to do this again? Melty, do you want to have a larger, more consistent role in your excellent boyfriend's podcast? Would you like to join me again?
Fire Bilo, hire me. You know what? This is a good opportunity to say, what does the audience think? I know I'm a little off right now. I have the coronavirus. I didn't bring my normal witty effervescence, but would you rather hear me or Bilo? And I think the choice is very clear, me. But I think we should hand it over to the audience for that one. I would love to come back. I think it would actually be more interesting mm-hmm. to do like a, you know.
He said, she said, his, her take.
His, her take, dating. Like you did the whole dating thing last year when you were dating and everything. I think it'd be fun to get different perspectives. Mm-hmm. Yeah, down with Bilo.
Well, I think that'd be interesting. Like, ladies and gentlemen, I would love for you to give feedback. I would love for you to... I put a poll up on my social media. I put it on both the Tea Podcast Instagram. As my announcer will come in and tell you all what that all is in a bit. I put it on the Tea Blog Instagram. I put a poll up there. Maybe I should do a poll. Who should be the Tea Podcast co-host? Bilo the co-host? Or Melty the girlfriend? That could be an interesting poll on top of like maybe do an Oscar poll or maybe I do a mix of polls.
Maybe we just say, we just create the hashtag Fire Bilo. And let's just call it a day.
Bilo, she's coming for your job.
I don't want to lose a poll. But I'm coming for you, Bilo. Coming for you.
So with that said, I would love for you, ladies and gentlemen, to come to iTunes. And again, I don't do this enough and I want to do this more often. As I give you where to find me at the end of the show right now, come to iTunes if you like the Tea Podcast, if you like Melty, if you like Bilo the co-host, if you like the content we're putting out there, if you want entertained, if you laugh, if you think, if you like everything we're doing here, please go to Tea Blog and obviously listen, but more so go to iTunes, subscribe, save the podcast and put them in your library and rate it. Come rate the show. Come put a comment and tell me what you think of the podcast.
Rate, review, subscribe.
Rate, review, subscribe. I like that. I'd appreciate that. Share along, share with your friends. But that's it. All right, everyone. That's the show for Thursday, February 6th, 2020. That was the Tea Podcast number 139. That was Melty and Tea predict the Oscars. Until next time, always take it there.
Listen to Tea in the Tea Podcast on iTunes and TeaBlog.com. Also follow Tea along on Twitter and Instagram on the Tea Blog account. All one word. TBLAWG on the T-Blog Facebook page. And again on Instagram, this time on the T-Podcast account, the_T_podcast. You can send comments and questions along to T@T-blog.com. That's T@T-BLAWG.com. The show has now ended. T has taken it there.